Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
It excites me every time I hear that bell. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Oh, hi. Is there anything on your mind before I delve into my topic?
Oh, you know, I want to start off with a real fun topic just because this is one that's been in the news a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know we don't often cover celebrity culture, but, you know, I don't know if you saw, but Britney Spears now has control of her Instagram again. And the first thing she did was post a topless selfie.
Salam alaikum, everyone.
What starts here changes the world. Well, I've got to admit, I kind of like it. What starts here changes the world.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
The average American will meet 10,000 people in their lifetime.
I was handcuffed to another man from another tribe whose language I did not speak.
Don't think, feel.
But if every one of you changed the lives of just 10 people, and each one of those people changed the lives of another 10 people, and another 10.
We did not know each other, and we could not speak to each other, because if we could have spoken to each other, we might have been able to figure out what was happening to us.
To every politician who was taking donations from the NRA, name on you.
I believed them when they said they were sleeping on concrete floors. I believed them. Children being separated from their parents in front of an American flag. I believe them.
And you can change the entire population of the world, 8 billion people.
And if we could have figured out what was happening to us, we'd not have been able to prevent it.
If you think it's hard to change the lives of 10 people, change their lives forever.
Well, that didn't happen. Here we are.
I believe these women.
You're wrong.
I feel extremely lucky to be here with all of you fighting for justice, for equality, for the right for us to equally exist in this country.
There were 329 uprisings, 157 cities within 4.5 years. And neither Martin nor Fannie had any control over that.
We might be headed to the promised land of speaking the truth and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
But their children were saved, and their children's children. Generations were saved by one decision, one person. But changing the world can happen anywhere, and anyone can do it. So what starts here can indeed change the world. But the question is, what will the world look like after you change it?
Welcome to Public Access America.
Make a stand. I know I did. Thank you very much. And may God bless America. May God bless America. May God bless America.
All right.
Of course, she's, you know, got herself covered up. And I have to say that this is one of those things where, like, I don't understand how people are kind of diving into this because... You hear a lot of people yelling "Free Britney," but then the moment that, you know, she posts a topless selfie of herself, you know, on the Instagram that she controls, they're like, "Ooh, maybe her mental health." And it's like, what do you think back to 1997 through 2000 and the outfits that Britney was wearing? Like, people profited off of the fact that she was a sex symbol. So why is it an issue now at like 40 that she's posting topless selfies of herself? It's like, was she mentally unstable then?
They just want to judge somebody. They want somebody to judge. So that's why they wanted her back, you know?
Absolutely. And so it's just like, you know, it feels really icky to me because it's like you sit there and you know, a bunch of people yell "Free Britney." She posts a topless selfie and then everybody's like, "Ooh, mental health." And it's like, you know, what if this is like, you know, the most freeing thing that she's gotten to do in 13 years, you know, like, what if being proud of her body is part of her mental health? You think about it. She's got two kids. She's definitely not the 20-year-old sex symbol she once was. Mm-mm. What's the matter with someone being proud of their body at 40 years old? I mean, I'm 35. I'm not exactly as proud of my body, but...
I think it's a beautiful thing. When people are happy and content with themselves, it's a beautiful thing. And whatever that journey takes, it's like watching a cake being baked. You can't judge the cake until it's finished. And Britney's still in the process. The one thing that really made me question whether she should get her freedom was this comment she made where she said, "I didn't even know that I could get this eliminated or canceled. And I thought to myself, if you're just sitting at home, like with nothing but Google, and wouldn't you be looking this up if it's what you wanted? And I just, it kind of bugged me that she was like the Simpsons reference. I tried nothing and I'm all out of options. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you also have to remember too, like this isn't just like your normal, like, hey, I've got a problem, so I think I'm just going to Google this. Like conservatorships and some of these legal confines are really difficult to get out of. And in order to navigate it, you really do need a lawyer. And when you can't get your own lawyer to do that because you're under a conservatorship, as much as I, that was one of those things, like that was my initial reaction to it. I was like, well, I mean, you've got all this. And then I'm like, wait, step back. You've worked in law. You know how difficult this can be. Right. So let's think about this and realize.
Who knows what if she Googled, can I do this? If it came up doubtful, you know, and she was just like, oh crap. Yeah. So, I mean, I got past that. I think everybody deserves their freedoms if they're not hurting other people. And she seems like a genuinely compassionate mother. You know what I mean? And I think she's a beautiful soul. So I'm happy. But I don't also have all the information, and it's a sliding scale. My opinion means shit because I have almost no information personally about her day-to-day life, you know?
Right. You know, and that's one of those things, like, I think, you know, we can all agree that everybody should have, you know, their individual freedoms to pursue what it is that they want. And, you know, perhaps there was a really good reason for Britney to be under conservatorship 13 years ago, but that reason doesn't exist now. And the reality of getting this conservatorship revoked got harder as the years went on. So, I mean,
for sure,
that's one of those things, like navigating the legal realm is difficult on a good day, but now imagine that you've had your rights revoked almost. Like you don't have the right to go get your own attorney. You don't have a right to spend your own money. You don't have a right to question what it is that you're under at that moment. Like that's a bad deal. Like for anybody,
And to imagine that she started before that episode with, you have no right to privacy and you have no right to respect, and where the paparazzi were literally pushing her to go crazy so they could get pictures of her going crazy, you know, and then that kind of just drove her crazy. It would drive anybody crazy.
Right.
And it kind of drove her crazy, but she sought mental health. Right. And she slowly overcame it, because that's how processes work. When you have PTSD, it doesn't go away in an instant. It takes just as long to get rid of it as it does to create it. And so she might be back, but she might still need continuing therapy and more topless shots, please, Brittany.
I mean, you know, I think it's important to empower a person. And if this is what Brittany needs to feel empowered, then I think that's something that most individuals should support, you know?
Yeah.
This world is hard enough as it is, but like the fact of the matter is that people are judging this whole scenario in a weird way.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that everybody's got to think about. It's like, the freedoms that you have and the freedoms that another person have are often very different. And remind you that this is somebody who hasn't even gone through a criminal system trying to get their rights back. This is somebody who had their rights revoked because of mental health issues. So, I mean, to understand that it's just as difficult for somebody who hasn't gone through the criminal justice system as it is for somebody who has, I mean, that should tell you a lot as it is.
Yeah. And I think that's why I don't cover celebrities, because they have such a microscopic spotlight on them. And I remember, like, when Demi Moore cut her hair, or Rose McGowan shaved her head, or all these women just reacted to that spotlight, because it seems like we put such a spotlight on these women. And then I've been watching the Rowan Farrow documentary on Harvey Weinstein, Catch and Kill. And to think about, while they're in our spotlight, they're getting pressured like Harvey Weinstein all the time. Yep. And then we judge them for that. It's just so crazy. We put them on a hot plate and then get mad when they dance. And so I try not to do that. But I do always want to talk to celebrities, but not because of their celebrity. I want to know what they go through just as the same. I want to know what Jeffrey's going through.
Right. You know, and that's just it, is like they're people too. Yes. They live a much different lifestyle than any of the rest of us could probably ever imagine. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's always going to be different for everybody. It's, you know, not going to be the same for a Ben Affleck, you know, or a Matt Damon or a Brad Pitt as it is for a Britney Spears or a Rose McGowan. And the fact of the matter is too, is that, you know, even if they are having mental health issues, why is that so bad? Like, the whole point is to destigmatize mental health issues, to encourage people to be able to get help.
Right.
And if you're still going to use mental health issues against a person, then clearly you're not on that board yet. You're not on that playing field of, it's like, okay, you know, this person obviously needs some help. You know, let's not try and make this worse.
Well, even we could make it so much easier by just removing that microscopic spotlight and just realizing that maybe 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, that celebrity's on, but when they're off, like when they have the off sign on their head, we need to just leave them alone and let them go to the grocery store, you know, let them go
have
to the
dinner.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think to myself, what if we reversed the polarities and thought to ourselves, how did Tom Hanks get so many roles? Right? Like, how did Matt Damon get those roles? Like, what if we thought about them the way we think about women? Like, oh, of course, Gwyneth Paltrow, she got her roles because she slept with Harvey Weinstein. But who did, you know, these male celebrities sleep with? Did they sleep with Harvey? You know what I mean? Why were they cast? And it's disgusting. And so you realize if it's disgusting to think that way, then it's disgusting to think the other way. But we could cure all of that by just putting more transparency into the system. You know what I mean? Getting rid of these NDAs and payoffs, you know, I just think that NDAs might be fine for civil, but not for anything criminal. I think.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Any criminal act should null and void any NDA, and that should be in the fine print of every NDA.
Well, so being a contracts person, NDAs do not, NDAs are not acceptable for criminal stuff. It's just that there's a very fine line that you can skirt with some of it.
Okay.
So it basically, it's like, if lawyers aren't involved in like some type of a settlement and non-disclosure agreement, it's a very, very tight rope to walk, and I could go into that in depth, but
well, this girl, she recorded Harvey Weinstein, right? Mm-hmm. And then they settled, and so she had to give all of her electronics to, you know, Harvey's company so they could go through and scrub them. But what she did was she sent that recording to like 50 emails and then went back to Italy and found one. But she couldn't share it. The NDA said she couldn't share it. So she played it, and Rowan Farrow recorded her playing of it. And that's how they got the recording, and they got to like, so yeah, it's a fine line with these NDAs, but I'm really happy the women came and spoke out, because man, that is just a disgusting incident in our life. And I hate that. I think that somebody spent like 17, 18, 19 years raising a daughter and a good kid and going through those trials and tribulations. And then Harvey comes along and goes, fuck you, you know? And it's just disgusting that you would do that to somebody's child, you know?
Yeah. It's a royal mess there. Mm-hmm. It's ugh, like,
yeah. I'm so glad he didn't get pardoned by Trump. You know what I mean? When you think of the pardons that could have happened.
Well, and that's where people have to realize, like, what the president can pardon is only related to federal stuff. You can't pardon state
crimes.
And in terms of sexual assault, most of it tends to be state crimes. The only way that it turns federal is if it goes interstate. So you're Jeffrey Epstein's, for example. Mm.
I love that. Good.
So
good. I like that.
So what do you got for topics? That was a fun little intro.
It was. And I like staying on that. I think we should respect people more. I had a whole bunch of topics, and we could skirt through them really fast. I have an overarching thing. There's something that's bugging me that's right up your alley, and the COVID really exposed it. But I've been trying to spend all week trying to figure out how to explain this in a way to where people will get it, because it's a great off-ramp for everybody here. And I'm going to try and explain it, and then you'll flesh it out, because I know you understand me better than most. So, like, the Delta variant here is pretty much affecting, we're going to say, conservatives, Republicans, people on that side of the line, right? And I think if you took that, this infection analogy, and put it into media terms, okay, so where the United States is a very specific ecosystem of media. And then what happened was the Russians came in and put Asian carp in our ecosystem. And we weren't used to that form of communication and misinformation. And it kind of fucked us all up. And then half of us got inoculated and went, that's crazy. I'm not believing that. But the other half were like, oh, we're infected. Right. And then I'm going to relate it to the Friday topic, was this Tom Barrack spy thing, because it's underreported that the UAE, United Emirates, right? United Arab Emirates, actually offered to do the same thing with the Trump campaign, with misinformation campaigns. And we don't know if they actually did that. So now what I'm thinking is our ecosystem, I don't think people understand, and we covered this a while ago, how fragile our media ecosystem is. We have the right to say anything. So we don't need to lie. We can say the truth and see if we get support. But all of a sudden, people came in and said, what if we lied? You know, and we believed that our media system would flush that out and get rid of it, right? Because that's not normal, but it's stuck, you know? Mm-hmm. And so am I explaining this right? Does this make sense?
I think I know where you're going with it. So basically you ended up with two camps, people who are going, no, this is the truth. And people who went, well, it's my choice to believe a lie, and
which is an American thing.
And be able to tell.
They're not calling it lies, though. They're not calling it lies. They're
no, they called it. They like called it alternative facts, is what they call
right.
it.
Right.
And I mean, you know, that's just it. You can call it alternative, whatever the fuck you want. But there's facts, and then there's misinformation, disinformation, and that's really right. what it was. I mean, Trump even said it himself in a recent interview, where somebody asked him if, you know, why he was lying. He's like, he didn't like the word lying. He said, I believe he said it was, there's another word for it, and it's more beautiful, disinformation. And I'm like, you know what disinformation is? It's lying. Disinformation yeah. is literal, actually telling false narratives in order to deceive. Like, that's right. what disinformation is. Misinformation, like we've talked about before, is like, you hear something and then you try to tell somebody else and then you accidentally get it wrong. Misinformation happens. Mm-hmm. You know, the simplest concept is you hear somebody's phone number and you accidentally swap two digits. That's misinformation. Right. Disinformation is when you're like, you know, like, oh yeah, here, let me give you my number. And then you give them to the, you give their, your number as the national rejection hotline, you know,
right.
It's a more comical idea. But what, so basically what has happened is that they've willingly allowed disinformation into the narrative and propagated it. Great example of this is the fact that, was it not even a month ago, was CPAC, I want to say. And they celebrated the fact that Joe Biden missed the 70% vaccination mark. They were yeah. literally cheering at people not getting vaccinated.
Right, because it was a war against Joe Biden and not for their supporters. It was a war against Joe. Let's make Joe look bad by dying.
So basically a bunch of people who are going to vote Republican are dying and they're applauding their own deaths. Like, right. what the fuck?
That was my whole question. You're killing the voters that would vote for you. The ones that you're not killing, you're telling that the election is rigged, don't vote. And then you're suppressing anybody that could be possibly left. Who's going to vote Republican? And I think Republicans are starting to get that message in small pockets because they're coming out in wild varieties of terms in from trust the science to I don't know why you're not getting vaccinated, you're dolts. You know what I mean? Like, you know why they're not getting vaccinated. You told them not to get vaccinated.
Right. And so now you've got like the Alabama governor, Governor Ivey, right. sitting there saying it's time to blame unvaccinated people because they're letting us down for this. And it's like, you know, we've been saying this for a while. It's like, look, you know, on the left, you had the group of people that are like, vaccines are going to be what cures this disease. No, it's not. I mean, the reality is that this is, you know, COVID's going to end up being like a seasonal flu.
But you know what's funny is that when Governor Ivey said that, and I saw that on the news, immediately after a Democrat said, well, she shouldn't be calling them dolts. Many of them are just black people that are scared of the vaccine. And it's like you just pivoted the story so you could complain, right?
Yep.
The whole time you've been saying conservatives, conservatives, and now the conservatives are like, oh yeah, it's us? Shit, we'll fix it. And we're like, nope, it's the black people now.
You know, and it's like one of the things.
Careful jello, Jeffrey, you know?
One of the things that we have to keep in mind is the fact that, you know, when we look at who the unvaccinated population is, it's not just Republican adults that are not vaccinated. We have the population 12 and under that aren't vaccinated yet. We have a population under 18 that their parents have to consent to them getting vaccinated. You know, there's also people that literally are physically unable to just go get the vaccine. That is part of it. I mean, like, we have to differentiate the group of people who are willingly choosing to not get vaccinated, because that, I mean, granted, overwhelmingly, it's going to look Republican. It's going to be a lot of other people as well. It's going to be liberals that, you know, are sitting there, you know, saying that they should have the, you know, a robust, natural, healthy immune system. Okay. Best of luck on that one. You'll have people who are just nervous about getting it and they're not willing to go talk to anybody about it.
Like, or the people that are like, I'm not going to put a Trump vaccine in my arm. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. No, exactly.
we were all just shamed into taking a Trump vaccine, which I happily took. I would have taken that if, you know, Hitler had said, here's the cure to COVID, you know?
that's the craziest part is then you've got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who's sitting there saying that vaccination is brown shirt efforts. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, people have been, you know, only a select group of people are being murdered here. No, that's, I mean, there is, but it's by their own party's disinformation, quite literally. Right. Like, you know, this is one of those things. It's like, you literally have told your people not to get the vaccine. You've sat there and you've spread all of this fake bullshit around.
Right.
And now that it's only in your areas, really, that people are seeing hospitals fill up and overflow, now you're suddenly like, oh my God, this is terrible. People need to get vaccinated. Why aren't people getting vaccinated? Meanwhile, all I have to do is look like 2 breaths ago when you're sitting there spouting vaccine misinformation and disinformation and conspiracy theories and all this other crazy bullshit.
Right. Ron DeSantis is like split from Trump on this issue now. He's like, get vaccinated because Texas, what is it? Texas, Florida, and Missouri account for 40% of the cases.
Arkansas, I think it's Arkansas, Mississippi, Florida, and Texas.
Yeah, make up 40%. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Arkansas, and Mississippi have a 36% vaccination rate in their states. 36%. Washington just hit 70% at 16 and older.
Right. And so when I told people Republicans are going to come for the immigrants so that they can get to the black people to come for the poor people, right now what you're seeing is them getting rid of poor people by just saying don't get vaccinated. And then the poorest people, the less educated, believe it and they die. You know, I've always said, except for abortion, they are a pro-death. They don't care. Once you come out, they want you to die. For some reason, they make money off of baby births. You know what I mean? But after that, no, they don't care about you. I believe they're climate deniers because it'll affect the brown countries first. you know, and they'll burn off all the brown people. And then they're like, no, don't come here. Stay there. You know, we caused it, but we caused your country to burn. But, you know, hey.
It's just absolutely wild because they're, you know, like we talked about, like there's a vast difference between vaccine hesitancy and being an anti-vaxxer. And I know I know plenty of people that are still vaccine hesitant, and I tell them, is like, you know, you, if you want to understand like what the decision looks like in terms of whether or not we accept a vaccine, all I do is, all I have to do is point to AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca is one that we were going to use in the country, but because there were so many deaths associated with the with that vaccine, we flat out said it is not safe. Europe, on the other hand, has decided that it is safe. And I can't understand why they said that. Like, I really don't. Usually they have much stricter standards than we do.
Right. Johnson & Johnson had 6 cases of blood clots in a certain age range of women. And we caught it that fast because of the data. And we got a warning on the Johnson & Johnson because of that. That fast. That fast.
And so, like, the reality is that does Johnson, and they've started to tack warning labels onto Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
So one of the things that, you know, we have to look at is what they're doing. They haven't tacked anything on that like that with Pfizer and Moderna. There are things that they're monitoring, yes, but these are things that seem to resolve themselves pretty quickly for the most part.
As opposed to long hauler COVID syndrome, which I want to remind everybody does exist, you know?
Absolutely. So I, you know, it's one of those things, like, I don't know what to tell people in terms of, you know, whether or not you think that these vaccines are going to be approved. I can tell you what it looks like when we say no, and it looks like what we did with AstraZeneca. And at this point, if you think that the 2-shot regimens are not going to be approved, at this point, the answer is no. They're going to be approved. And if you really want to wait for the FDA to approve it, here's going to be my question. Are you still going to have the same hesitancies once the FDA approves it? Because I guarantee you they will.
Right.
The problem here is that whether you're going to sit down and say, oh, well, it was Biden's FDA approved it, so I'm not going to get it.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, well, it's still a vaccine that was, you know, created and sped up under Trump. I don't know what to tell you other than that. Like,
there's a point where you don't know what to say. And that's why I wanted to bring this media thing up, because it gives everybody an off ramp. So if you imagine like Russian media attacks on us as a virus and Donald Trump kind of patient zero in that, I mean, you have to understand that like the people he surrounded himself with were Michael Flynn, who was working for Turkey, and this Tom Barrack, who was working for the United Emirates, and Papadopoulos, who was and Manafort, who were working for the Russians. It's like he had a coalition of misinformation around him, and then it enveloped the U.S. And it's like Donald Trump divided us like a bad relationship. He said, "Don't listen to your wife, who's smart. Listen to me, your friend." And like Republicans got divorced from the United States and said, we're going with this guy. And it was just so weird. But it's like part of the country got infected with misinformation. It's not their fault. Everybody got infected. But you can come back. Like, there's a cure for it, right? The truth. Just the truth. And I don't know how to get back to the truth. And like we always said, go back to listen to our misinformation episodes to try and find truth. But we need to get back to truth. And if you need to simplify it and work up from there, like, yes, there is air. We breathe air, right? We can all believe in that. Water is wet. Yes. Yes. We can believe that. Like the sun is hot.
So like,
we can start there, right? And work our way up.
Absolutely. And part of that needs to be that, you know, there's information out there that is being gathered that we're still working on. Some of the information that I was reading up on and studying yesterday was just like the breakthrough cases with COVID, for example.
Israel is in the news.
So not just Israel, but even here in Washington State, because, you know, it's like what everybody's doing is going to be different in terms of how they approach it. Israel had a great vaccine push until they had a bunch of governmental issues, and then their vaccine process halted. right. because of lack of payment. Here in the U.S., that's a different story. So, like, right. even for like for Washington State, for example, yesterday, among our numbers, so there have been 3,446 breakthrough cases. Mm. That represents 0.7% of all COVID cases that we've had in the state.
Wow, 0.7, that's a lot.
0.7% of all COVID cases. That's a lot, but
in the state,
But when you think about it, the idea that the vaccine is quote unquote at this point, you would say 99.3% effective.
Okay.
That's pretty damn good.
Those numbers include people with immune diseases. That includes the elderly with underlying conditions, because that's the same thing as in Israel. They had a 38% effective rate when it came to including everybody. That included, you know.
So that's a 38% effective rate in preventing you from getting the disease altogether. In Washington right. State, it's 34% is what I was reading yesterday.
But that includes everybody, including seniors and the, you know, the immune mm-hmm. compromised, like everybody. Like, but yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I think you're about to make a point.
And then when you look at the deaths, we've had of those breakthrough cases, there have been 48 deaths associated with it. So when you look at it in terms of the deaths, it represents 0.7% of all deaths in this, from COVID in the state. So, like, this is one of those things where it's like, if you're wondering whether or not vaccines work, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. They work very well. It's just a matter of learning the numbers and understanding it.
Right.
No vaccine is 100% effective. There is no vaccine out there that is going to be 100% effective. And that's something that people are going to have to come to terms with. The left especially is going to have to come to terms with that fact. Because, you know, right now you're seeing the Delta variant is now 83% of all cases in the United States, and people are panicking.
Right. It is a monster.
And people who are vaccinated are getting the Delta variant, yes. Right. But at the same time, too, like, it still is in the range of what we would expect any of our other vaccines to work with. So mm-hmm. reality is that people who've had COVID have antibodies. I think we brought this up last week, where 9 months after people have had COVID, 98.2% of people still have antibodies 9 months after they've had COVID.
Right.
So there's still some immunity there. Vaccines obviously are right about the same, but there's still a much more, there's a much higher and more concentrated result that we're finding. It's more predictable what right. your immunoresponse is going to be. The reality is that COVID's not going away. And anybody who thought that this was going to go away at this point, I really wish that were the case. And that's going to be another thing for medical science to figure out, is how do we vaccinate people so that way you don't get viruses at all, period. That's another step. But
right.
the fact of the matter is that in very little time, we've created a vaccine that is fast to produce, number one.
Right.
Number two, highly effective compared to most other vaccines that we give people.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, like, its manufacturing methods is actually pretty cheap too. Like, reality is that there's a lot of diseases out there that we're going to be able to fight for a change. And
by copy and pasting.
Quite literally.
You know what I mean? And I think that's so cool. So what you're saying is, people that believe in vaccines are talking about 98.3% of the cases. That's their proof. And anti-vaxxers are talking about 0.7% of the truth, right?
Yes.
Like, anti-vaxxers are saying this happened to this person, when you could trace that back to an autoimmune deficiency or
potentially an
immunity disorder. So what they're saying, they're spotlighting 0.7% and pretending it's more than it is. And the 98.3% are saying we believe it's
99.3%.
safe. 99.3% are saying, you know, we're going based on this. And anti-vaxxers are saying, yeah, but what about this? And I had that same argument with my friend in Sweden. He said, I'm not going to give my kid a vaccine because there's a 0.7% chance it could kill him. And I said, yes, but you can test him for that, right? Like, wouldn't you go and just do the further test to find out if you are immune compromised or it could kill you? There's tests for that, you know?
And the reality is that when it comes to vaccination programs, like I have a friend back in Montana, and this is where this gets really unfortunate. And this is something that we do need to highlight. So currently they have to undergo testing twice a week in order to do their job. They are also one of the people that they have severe reactions to vaccines. And because they can't get the vaccine, their workplace is requiring to do these expensive tests out of their own pocket every week, twice a week. And this is where I have to tell people on the left, look, the whole point of us getting vaccinated is so that way when people who have these immuno issues can't get vaccinated, they can rely on us to do that heavy lift.
Right. Like,
This is that part of the science that you're choosing to ignore. Not everybody can get the vaccine. You've said it in the past before, and you have to accept the fact that there are going to be people out there that are conservative that actually can't get the vaccine. It's not that they don't want to. It's that the last time they got a vaccine, it damn near killed them.
Right. I have a friend like that. Hi, Tammy. And she says the same thing. Last time she got vaccinated, she had a bad reaction and was in the hospital.
12 years later, she's still $40,000 in debt because of a vaccine. And it's like we have to learn how to separate the politics from the person, and the person cannot be vaccinated. The politics are just a shitty side effect at times. And so regardless of the politics, like, this person can't be vaccinated. It is incumbent upon those of us who can to be vaccinated for those people's protection. It's the best we can do because we can't guarantee that even those of us who are vaccinated aren't going to get the disease. But we can definitely reduce the chance that we're going to get it and then spread it on to somebody else through vaccination. That's how it works. That's literally the entire process. It was that process before the mRNA vaccines came around. It's the same process now. It's not going to change anything. That's how the system works. That's how herd immunity works in the scientific era.
And we don't know the exact number of herd immunity. You know, it's like when it happens, it'll happen, but don't push for a specific number. Just get everything you can. But I want to say it again, what I said last week. If you're going to listen to a politician and take advice from a politician about COVID, you're going to get political advice. If you talk to your doctor about a medical condition, he's going to give you medical advice. If you talk to your Aunt Sally about COVID, she's going to give you Aunt Sally advice. Get advice from the person that's going to give you the correct advice. And that is rarely a politician.
Right. Exactly. Like, stop relying on politicians to give you advice. Like there's only, like, even for me, like, I'm a numbers person. Like, all I can talk to you about is statistics. That's what my education is in at a master's level. I am educated in numbers. I know how to read this stuff. It's like, does that mean that my interpretation of the numbers is the end all be all? Absolutely not. It's like, I can just tell you what it looks like. Medically speaking, you need to go talk to your doctor about whether or not this is worth it for you. Because if you're the kind of person who has immuno issues and getting a vaccine damn near kills you, I don't want you getting the vaccine. Absolutely not.
Right. And I want to know that you can be safe. I'll wear a mask around you if I have to, even though I've been vaccinated, because I can be asymptomatic. And it just prevents me from going to the hospital, but not from contracting it and getting minor illnesses.
Absolutely. And so, like, this is where that whole, like, individual freedom and responsibility to your community have to overlap. Like, yes, it is my individual freedom to choose to be vaccinated or not. I chose to be vaccinated because I'm still responsible to my community, and my actions don't just affect me. The idea that you can swing your fist as much as you want until it lands on the other person's nose, well, that includes coughing too, you know?
Yep.
And especially for, you know, and especially for the people who can't be vaccinated. Like, at some point, this is going to be a much different story. And when we have enough people vaccinated, I do imagine that this is not going to be as much of an issue. I imagine that there's probably going to be two more boosters by the time 2022 hits.
I hope so.
Already got one in the works, and I guarantee you whatever the next variant is after Delta that they're concerned about is going to be the one they work on next.
Sure. But they're also predicting ahead and researching the whole virus so that they can come to a conclusion.
So that way they can just tool it. Yeah.
Rights come with responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I mean? I heard a journalist say that. I believe in the First Amendment. I can say everything, but as a journalist, I have a certain responsibility to not, you know, take advantage of that. And yes, you have the right to not get vaccinated. You don't have the right to infect other people, though. Like, that's not right. That doesn't make sense. So mask up or get vaccinated, but know that you are carrying it. There's a good chance at this point, if you're not vaccinated, you are sick, because it's that rampant. It's that dense, you mm-hmm. know. You know somebody that's sick. If you're not vaccinated, you know somebody that's not vaccinated and sick. And what really disgusts me is that people are shaming other people into not getting vaccinated. Like, you should not infringe on people's freedoms that way. And there is discrete vaccinations. Look into your state, and I'm guaranteeing you will find a discrete location to get the vaccine.
I believe even in Washington, there's for 13 and up, there's medical discretion for the teenagers who want to do things. Yeah. There's been a few anecdotal stories of kids who've gotten vaccinated because their parents are anti-vaxxers and they would rather get vaccinated, or there's any number of health things that they have done, but they have the medical discretion to do because of the way that. Like, I think that's fantastic. I think 13 is a pretty good cutoff number for that because, well, I mean, at 13, I definitely understood a few things better than some of my...
A 9-year-old? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that, like, I can make the argument for and against at 13 to 18, but, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes... You just get stuck with parents that you know are batshit crazy. And you still have to be able to make some decisions for yourself. I mean, as a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, I made a lot of decisions for myself.
Me too. A lot of bad ones too.
Oh, a lot of terrible fucking decisions. Some of them that I'm still finding out about, but...
But isn't that the time to make those mistakes before you become an adult and you're responsible for them? You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing too is that... That was also a time when I, you know, some of the decisions that I made didn't have any sort of adult advice given before I made the decision.
Right.
Whereas when it comes to medical decisions, there is a person with an education and an experience level that's going to be able to provide you the best advice. It's not like some kids like, yeah, I'm going to go off and get vaccinated, BRB. The doctors and nurses are still educating these kids. Hey, you know, this is what could happen. This is what you're going to see. This is why we're doing this. It's not like you're meeting some rando adult in the back being like, hey, you got some of that vaccine for me?
Right.
I mean,
it's
at this point,
I'd be telling people in a back alley, right?
No, seriously. Like you're working with medical professionals in order to get the best results for the person. And even at 13, you know, I would still expect a doctor to be like, hey, you know, what do you know about your medical history? Do you know if you've had any allergic reactions to anything? You know, hey, maybe we should test and make sure that, you know, you would be safe to get this vaccine.
Man.
Like, that's something that should be prevalent in all schools, you know, for kids to be able, you know, for kids 13 and up to be able to make that decision with the help of medical professional.
We want to raise our children to make adult decisions, but we want to be there to protect them when they do that. right? Like, I want my child to always make a decision. It might not always be the right decision, but either it's a learning lesson or a success story. So I want them to be doing it, not me. I don't want to be a helicopter and tell everybody how to live their lives. I want to be there to help them when they make a mistake, you know?
Well, and I mean, you know, for what I've, you know, what Debbie and I have done with the kids is that we give them the information and we say, look, this decision is up to you. It's like, right, you're an autonomous human being and you have to be used to making some decisions for yourself.
Right.
We will give you the information that we have. If you want to go out and get more information, absolutely. And, you know, if it's something that changes our minds on something, hey, great. You know, right. We're working with the best information that we have. And if you have better information, you know, by all means, bring it to me. I will take a look at it.
Your child will, and you'll be like, you're growing up.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, teaching my kids how to function independently while still having a network to ask questions. Like, when it comes time for them to be out on their own, like, they're already asking me questions now. It's not like when they're out of the house, I'm like, all right, you're on your own. Don't ask me anything else. Bye.
Right. Exactly. But that's that, you're developing that relationship. You know, I always believe when a child's making a decision and you want to stop them, you tell them what the consequences are. Like, if you don't do that, here's what's going to happen. But if you do go forward, here's the path that you're taking, and you don't want to take that path. Right. And right. Then you let them decide. And when they realize it's the wrong path and they're like, I didn't listen. I should have. You're like, that's a learning moment. Let me help you fix that. But I'm not going to help you fix this again if you make the same decision. You
know? Right. And that's exactly it is that, you know, I've taught my kids several times. It's like, look, there are two ways to learn something. There's the easy way and there's the hard way. And sometimes right. The easy way is literally watching somebody else fuck up or
right.
Hearing somebody else's story of screwing up royally, me. Particularly, yeah. I've got a lot of lessons on what not to do, but realistically, I mean, like learning how to, I mean, even as an adult, learning how to help kids make independent decisions with the best information yes. possible is hard. You know, it's really difficult, especially in the social media era. You know, I've got my kid, my oldest comes to me all the time. Hey, you know, hey, I want to do this. I see this on this, you know, ad or this app. Is this true?
Right.
And it's like, okay, let's take a look at it and let's see what is going on here. Ooh, no, that's not true. There was some medical information that they were getting about COVID and they were like, hey, so this person looks like they're a doctor. And here's the advice that they're giving. Is this information true? And so I, you know, went and I listened to it and it's like, okay, well, the information seems true. Let's look up the credentials of the person. Sure enough, they're an actual doctor. And it's like, okay, this is actually good information from a doctor. But then on the same token, they were sharing with me some stuff. They're like, hey, is this true? And it's somebody literally dressed up as a nurse who's not actually a practicing nurse. Right. giving disinformation about the virus. And it's like, okay, so you see how people are using credentials to try and wage this war. This person looks like they should be trustworthy, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
This person looks like they should be trustworthy, and they are. You can't just go based off of the look. You actually have to dig into the substance of who it is that you're listening to.
Right. And I just found out a weird thing that there's 12 people putting out most of the misinformation out there.
Yep.
And everybody else is just a wannabe. Like there's 12 people actively feeding wannabes who want to become famous for anything. And if they get famous because a bunch of anti-vaxxers are like supporting them, they don't care. They're just happy to be famous, you know?
And that's the problem. Like,
that's the problem right
like
there.
The idea of being famous just for the sake of being famous is well, I mean, it's a narcissistic complex is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be famous. Like, if I happen to end up being famous, great, fantastic, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to do me, and if somebody likes that and a bunch of other people turn out to like it, fantastic. If right. they don't, whatever. Like, I'm not hurt at the end of the day if somebody says they don't like what I'm doing or what I have to say. That's fantastic.
Because you're living the honest you, right?
I'm living the honest me, and I'm trying to do I'm trying to live the balance between individual freedom and human responsibility to, you know, your fellow humans.
Right.
It's like there are certain decisions that I'm going to make that are well within my right because I've done my homework and I don't believe that they do affect others. There are some decisions I'm going to make where I'm going to be like, I want to do this, but this seems to have a negative effect on my community and I probably shouldn't do that. It's not that I don't think that I don't have the right to do it. It's just that I've reassessed what my balance is. And it's that, you know, I understand that I have an individual right, but I also have a community responsibility.
Right. And you go off the checklist in that order. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love that you said that because I've been saying that for years. If I can make a decision that benefits two people instead of just me, I'll make that decision. But if it doesn't affect anybody, and I want to say that like living your life the way you think people want you to be so that they're happy with you is so stressful because mm-hmm. you'll never get it right. But if you just live your life the way you believe morally, you can sleep at night. It doesn't really matter if people fall away because they don't like that. That's you and you're living the honest you. Mm-hmm. But if people are going to get mad at you for living the way you live, they're not the people you want in your life. Unless Absolutely. You're living a reckless lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, I believe everybody has the right to do heroin, but I'm not going to be in your life and support you while you do that. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, it's one of those things like, do I think all drugs should be legal? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because clearly the war on drugs hasn't worked. Does that mean right. that I'm going to be there to support you when you decide to shoot up fucking smack or right. heroin or fucking meth or do crocodile, whatever? Mm-hmm. No. It's like, I hope that there are the resources in place that you need to help you make better decisions. But yeah. I'm not the person to help you with that. And that's the real answer because I don't have the qualifications to help you with that.
But even different than that, life has its own consequences. You don't mm-hmm. need to be the active consequences. Nope. I don't negatively need to fight somebody doing heroin in Washington State, right? Right. Like I might not approve of it, but that's what the hell is that? You know, that sounds like a mother thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So go ahead and do what you want, but I'm not going to actively fight it or support it. That's my point. And I feel the same way. If I want to be in my bedroom and tuck my penis between my legs and take pictures like Silence of the Lambs, you don't have to negatively or positively support that. You just have to know that you don't even have to know it's happening. You know what I mean?
You don't even have to accept it or reject it. You just leave right. it the fuck alone. Like,
but you don't need to judge it. You just, right. judgment is just this weird thing that we do to fill in space. We don't need to do that. We don't need to judge just to come up with conversational talking points. You know?
Right. You know, and that's the thing is like, you know, inherently, like we all try to sit down and go, ooh, that doesn't look normal. Well,
right.
the moment that you start to think about what is and isn't normal, like, it's very centric to whatever your belief system happens to be. Mine happens to be very individual freedom based with mm-hmm. the responsibility to community. So for anybody who wants to choose to do something or people to finally feel free to represent who they are, I'll just right. leave it at that. For people to finally be free to be themselves, it ain't my job to judge them. It ain't my job to accept or reject them either. It isn't right. my job to be any part of that. If a person feels that they want to include me in that, absolutely, that's fantastic. Right. I believe in people being able to express and celebrate who they are. Now, if you're if you feel that your willingness to express yourself is by murdering me, yeah, that's a different problem, and I'm not right. going to let you to express that one. But anything exactly. else, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. Like I've said, gay marriage doesn't affect me. Straight marriage doesn't affect me. Trans people do not affect me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them all to feel safe and be able to live their life as they are, not as I, yeah. as they see fit, as they are, because yeah. they are people. And the fact of the matter is that their responsibility to community is no different than anybody else's.
Right.
It's just that whatever your belief metric happens to be, you can't force that on anybody else.
I wish people didn't. And it seems like even conservatives are like, no, you deserve your rights, but what about my child? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You affected my child. And they've done that from music to transgenders to abortion. Like, what you're doing is going to make my child's life bad. And I don't like that. Stop using your shield. Stop judging
people.
Not
even
like,
a,
I don't like that.
It's not even a shield. It's literally a shitty metric. Because at the same time, too, the moment that they find out their kid is gay, then all of a sudden they're pro-gay rights. And it's like, what the fuck? No. You understand that just because a gay person has rights, that doesn't mean you have less. And suddenly you're finally figuring that out when your kid comes out to be gay.
Right. Like,
that's horseshit. That's absolute horseshit is what that is.
Why are you judging it? It's not about judgment. It's about accepting or not accepting. Like, you find out who somebody is, and then you choose whether you want to accept them. Do you really want everybody to hide who they are until you get to know them? And then after you invest in them, they feel free to be an asshole? I want to know who everybody is and then decide whether I want to like them from there or not. I do have something else on the COVID topic, and it's Thursday's story, and I think it's a great way to wrap up, and it is businesses can ask customers if they are vaccinated against COVID-19 without fear of legal recourse, according to legal experts and fact checkers. What do you think of that?
Ooh, so yes, the more that I've dug into it, basically there's a very fine line in the sand, and this is something that people need to realize, like where HIPAA ends and where responsibility to your business, your clientele begins. Right. So, where does that HIPAA line draw? Okay. Anytime that you're going to be storing or transmitting medical information, then HIPAA applies. So, for example, if a company you work for said, hey, are you vaccinated? Yes or no? And you say, yes, I'm vaccinated. They're like, great, cool. That's fine. You're approved to do whatever you want. All right. Fantastic. But if a company says, hey, are you vaccinated? And you say, yes. And they're like, okay, I need a copy of your vaccination record in order to have on file. That's a HIPAA thing, because you're asking for actual health information that you plan to store and or transmit.
That's true. They have the right to ask you. You have the right to not answer.
Exactly.
They have the right to fire you for not answering.
And I would say even too, like depending on where you work, they have the right to fire you for not being vaccinated, because, and I say this with a grain of salt, there needs to be a differentiation between people who medically cannot get vaccinated.
Yes.
And people who choose not to be vaccinated based on any number of metrics. And I would include religious exemptions as part of that. Religious and philosophical. To me, that those exemptions are not about safety, public safety. We have a number of systems in place already where in order to be in the building, you have to be vaccinated. Public schools are one of them. You have to have your shots.
It should be anyway.
It is. Every school that I've ever gone to, like, you can't go to school if you are not vaccinated.
That's true. You can't travel overseas unless you get your vaccinations.
Yep. So some people, when what they have done is they've done homeschooling in order to skirt those requirements, which, hey, great. That means you're not around people. That means that you're minimally at risk of getting infected,
but you still acknowledge the consequences of your non-vaccination.
Right.
You're saying, I'm going to take precautions because I understand the repercussions.
Right. So now this is where things get a little bit hairy, because depending on how your state is going to handle these kind of questions. So what is to stop a person from saying, yeah, I'm vaccinated, when they're not?
Exactly.
What kind of repercussions are there for a person just not wanting to disclose whether or not they're vaccinated? you know, I can understand
freedoms. Based on freedoms, I might deny the question, even though I'm vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as somebody who's vaccinated, it's like, for me, my metric is, do I want to tell people I'm vaccinated? Not really. Am I going to tell people I'm vaccinated? Yes. Why? Because for me, I feel a community responsibility to say, hey, look, I've had the vaccine. I'm perfectly fine.
Right.
Like, that's where it is at this point with these vaccines. Like with any of the rest of them, nobody asked. I will say that there's legal precedent for people not being able to go places because they're not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also argue that in terms of like testing and stuff, there is no legal precedent for allowing people in, but requiring them to test constantly either.
That's true.
And especially placing that burden on the individual. Like I said, I think there's a very fine line between people who can't be vaccinated and the philosophical and religious exemptions that we constantly see.
Yeah.
I don't think philosophical and religious exemptions should exist in terms of vaccinations.
It's a community responsibility. I put my vaccination card. I took a picture of it. I put it on my phone. It's on my iPad. And then I took the card and put it in my phone case. So I always had it on me and I wanted to get a t-shirt, you know what I mean? But there is places where I don't want to admit that I got vaccinated. And there's a group of people I just don't want to have that argument with. So I don't tell them one way or another, you know what I mean?
You know, but what's really funny is that the same people who are saying that it's their right to disclose whether or not they're vaccinated are, funny enough, the same people I've seen out in public wearing shirts that say proudly unvaccinated. And I'm like, really? Like, just proudly unvaccinated against COVID? Or did you just say fuck the rest of them too? Because, man, oof, that could be a little bit rough. Like, especially... Well,
at least your family will know what shirt to bury you in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a sweater, because it'll be hot and itchy.
Yeah, well, as long as it says proudly unvaccinated, I'm happy with that. You know what I mean?
You know, and that's just it, is that medically speaking, hospitals have access to immunization records.
Yep.
And overwhelmingly, what they're seeing is that the people who are ending up in their emergency rooms are people who aren't vaccinated.
Yep.
In fact, working out to be about 99.2% of people who are in hospitals are unvaccinated.
Right.
So I don't know what to tell you. Like, as a math person, it's like, there's an 80% chance that there's a 80% chance that I would be an asymptomatic person who got COVID. There's a 20% mm-hmm. chance that I would be a person who had COVID. Of that, there is, you know, of all the people that have had COVID, there's about a 1.8% chance that I'm going to die from having COVID based on the data that we have.
0.7% in your state.
1.8%. So 1.3% of all COVID cases have resulted in death in the state of Washington, or a 0.7% possibility amongst all of the deaths.
Right.
Just the deaths alone. 0.7% amongst. So 0.7% of 0.7%, literally. So
there's a greater percent you'll die when you get in your car and drive to go get vaccinated than you will from the vaccination still, right?
You literally have a better chance of being struck by lightning while winning the lottery.
Get vaccinated, you might win the lottery and get struck by lightning. How cool
hey, in some states, they're doing vaccine lotteries. So you actually have a better chance of winning the lottery.
Right.
So, like, think about that. That's 0.7% of cases wind up, 0.7% of vaccinated cases wind up in the hospital. And of that, 0.7% of that wind up dead. Like,
right.
That's very, 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 very little. That is far less than your chance of ending up dead if you had the flu or pneumonia.
That's true. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Public Access America. I hope we shamed you enough into getting your vaccination, because you really should. And I'll just say, you know, liberals are laughing at you every time you die. Not all of them. but a percentage of them. And you don't want to make a liberal happy, get vaccinated.
Hey.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment. This is our time.
To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live stream time, YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.